You're tuned into the audio channel from scorenotes.com. Enjoy the show.
Well, Christopher, thank you so much for joining us tonight on scorenotes.com. How's everything going?
It's going great, Tom. Thank you.
And immediately and up front, just would like to know, what's it feel like to have won the Grammy Awards there?
It's a pretty good feeling, I have to say. I'm very excited and honored and thrilled because of the significance that these particular awards have in the context of video gaming and so forth. So I'm still riding on cloud nine right now.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. And your album Calling All Dawns, which is a catalyst for this recognition, has a pretty interesting story around it in the context of the album itself. So can you just tell us a little bit about the story arc of the album conceptually?
Well, the album itself is basically a song cycle about the cycle of life. And so there are three sections to the album. There's the day section, which corresponds to life, the night section, which corresponds to death, and the dawn section, which corresponds to rebirth. And so the whole arc of the album dramatically is about, the cycle of life, essentially. The way the album came the way it came to be, was entirely from my video game music, actually. And I was given the chance in 2005 to write music for the video game Civilization IV, and the song that I wrote for that video game was Baba Yetu, that's actually the opening track on this album. So I kind of revisited my video game roots in putting this album together.
And what was it like to kind of explore those thematic elements in your own album? Because these are some, these are concepts with depth, with a lot of meaning, and that in turn adds to the emotion of the music itself, I thought.
Well, I think for me, I'm the type of person who just likes to layer on the meaning into his projects. I like narratives and subtext and little interconnected things here and there and little conceptual details that people kind of discover through repeated listening. So that's always kind of been my thing. I grew up listening to bands like Pink Floyd and listening to albums like Dark Side of the Moon and The Wall and so forth. And those really made an impact on me. And so when I finally got about to doing my own album, I thought, well, I'll revisit those 70s concept albums and do something in a similar vein.
And can you kind of touch on some of the parallels Calling All Dawns has with that of the film music world? Because I think there's a lot of soundtrack enthusiasts who would get a lot out of listening to this album.
Well, it's conceived very cinematically. And actually some of the songs were in fact originally written for various media projects, like the opening track, Baba Yetu. So, there's the same sort of classic Hollywood sort of soaring strings thing going on. It's orchestrated in a very lush manner. It's very dramatic music, I would say. So it doesn't surprise me that a lot of soundtrack aficionados might take to it.
And the variety of languages that are in the different cues on the album, that must have taken a lot of time to kind of pull together. What are the challenges of using diverse languages in a project like this?
Well, like you mentioned, there are 12 songs in 12 different languages, and it was a huge challenge finding the text that I wanted to set, because all these texts had to fit within the narrative scheme of the album, right? The idea of day, night, and dawn, or life, death, and rebirth. Finding the text was a matter of spending a lot of time in front of a computer, reading transliterated and translated poems in various languages. Figuring out how to work with those texts required a lot of collaboration. So I would, for example, take lessons with language tutors who would explain to me okay, this particular poem reads like this, and this is how you pronounce these consonants, and this is the syllable that would get the stress in this particular word. So it was just an enormous amount of research.
And what's great about it is a lot of times, you know, composers delve into these areas and perhaps the music doesn't sound authentic, but it was delivered with a genuine honesty, I felt, and that was part of the allure for me with this album.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, I really did try my hardest. I mean, there are, you know, without being a native speaker of a lot of these languages and not without being immersed in these cultures, you know, it's hard to really do them justice. But whenever I felt like my own experience or my own understanding fell short, I would contact someone and find anyone who would be willing to talk to me about this particular language or this particular culture. So I really tried to do my due diligence in that department.
And a couple of the tracks from the album that really connected with me on a big time level, tracks 2 and 11, and I would just love to get your feedback about those specific tracks because they're kind of near and dear to me from the listening experiences that I enjoyed from it.
Okay, well, track 2 would be Madokara Miru, which is the Japanese song. And that one I have all sorts of things to talk about in terms of the structure of it. Basically, I asked myself, what is the dominant poetic form in Japanese literature? And that's the haiku, obviously, right? So the way it works is track 2, Madokara Miru, is almost a microcosm of the entire album itself because I took 5 haiku, and haiku traditionally are associated with various seasons. So there's usually a word in the haiku somewhere that signifies that it belongs to such and such season. So for example, the word for cherry blossoms, which is I think is sakura, means spring because that's when the cherry trees blossom. Or the word for moon means autumn because that's when the moon is the roundest, right? So I took 5 haiku corresponding to spring, summer, autumn, winter, and spring again. And I had them sung by people in different phases of their lives. So the spring haiku is sung by a young girl. The summer haiku is sung by an older woman, you know, like an adult woman. The winter haiku is sung by a woman, an older-sounding woman, you know. And then the winter haiku is sung by someone on their deathbed, essentially. And so by pairing up the seasons with people in different seasons of their lives, so to speak, I was kind of reflecting that whole cycle within that song specifically. And of course, you know, like to go back to the cyclical motif that kind of runs throughout the whole album, I chose the musical form of a rondo, right? So every time a haiku comes back, it's sung essentially with the same sort of main motif. I kind of glued it all together with several different, you know, like an A theme, a B theme, and a C theme. And took a lot of work, actually, a lot of work. Track 11, Shukla Krishna, that one, it's a much smaller song, a shorter song, rather. But with that one, I wanted to tap into, the Indian use of ragas, in their music. So I chose a non-standard scale. I mean, it would be considered the Charudeshi raga, if I remember correctly. And I wanted to put a little spin on it, though. And the thing that you find about most world music is Western classical music is really the only music out there that modulates aggressively. Most sort of world music, it stays in one tonal center. But I wanted to put my own spin on these various world traditions, and so I did a lot of aggressive modulating myself. So that's one of the noteworthy characteristics of that song and other songs on the album.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you for the breakdown of those two tracks. And I love hearing about the story within the story, and it gives you a new way to explore this music when you return to it again. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And just getting back to your recent award achievement, in what way specifically do you think being a Grammy winner will aid you in your career at this point?
I really don't think it actually changes much. I mean, I actually have a lot of friends who have won Grammys, and they've all kind of told me the same thing, that it doesn't really change your life. I mean, what's nice about it is that now I can, you know, when I make a phone call, I have a better chance of that person calling me back or returning my emails if I say Grammy winning composer. And that's kind of all I've ever wanted in life, really. Just, you know, people to return my phone calls. I think it's easier, because I like to work with a lot of collaborators, musical collaborators, it's easier now for me to maybe get their attention. And I'm hoping that will be the case moving forward on, you know, future projects like this. But as far as, like, bringing me more film work or anything like that, I don't think it necessarily does that. I mean, all my friends who won Grammys or Emmys, I mean, it doesn't change your life. It doesn't really do all that much. But who knows, you know?
Indeed. And speaking of future projects, what are some follow-ups that you have going on right now? What's kind of on the plate next for you?
Well, I like to keep a pretty diverse career, actually. So the things that are coming up, I did some work on a feature that's coming out April 29th. It's Hoodwinked 2, Hood vs. Evil. It's for the Weinstein Company. So you'll see my name in the credits there. And I'm working on an electronica album. My producer friend and I, we founded a production duo called Stereo Alchemy. And what we've done, and this sort of goes back to, you know, the way I treated text and calling all dawns, we took a bunch of Romantic and Renaissance era poetry, mostly poems about love or death, and we're turning out these, they're like sort of rock-infused electronica tracks, almost trip-hop-ish a little bit. And we're planning on releasing an album in the next few months of these sorts of, you know, poetically inspired electronica tracks. So that's the next release coming from my world.
And what a wonderful world it is. I'm very happy to have found your music. I think you have a world of talent, and I think it's on display with Calling All Dawns. So I'm very excited to see what's up next. So thank you for your time with this interview.
I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.